Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol two-man car.
Or Jesse and Anita.
Tobias and Sarah. That can't be a two-man car. Two first responders. Two first responder or two couple. Sacrament of marriage first responders.
First responders.
That's right. We're responding to people's soul because that's what we're on, Soul Patrol. We want to help people get to heaven, know Jesus Christ, know their Catholic faith. Welcome to Friday's show.
And empower you as a couple, as parents, and as an individual.
That's right.
Right?
We're going to be talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary in the next segment. And again, why she's powerful against the diabolical. So I would like to start off with a Hail Mary and then the Ave Maria. We'll do the Hail Mary first. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. You know, as Catholics, around my neck, I'm wearing a rosary. This is called a sacramental, and actually St. Louis de Montfort says it's
and
a good habit.
I'm wearing a miraculous medal and a scapular.
And I'm wearing a bronze scapular as well. These are called sacramentals. These are weapons that God gives us so that we can live, so that we can have that actual grace when we need it
In
a moment of temptation.
Yeah, those are actually... sacramentals are the extension of sacraments.
That's right. They derive their power from...
Yes.
The sacraments derive their power from Jesus Christ, and sacramentals derive their power from the sacraments.
Right.
Which derive their power from Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, the use of sacramentals is one of the most misunderstood practices in the Catholic Church. They've been part of the Church's life from the very beginning, but are commonly viewed as some sort of superstition by non-Catholics. And this is largely due to the fact that many Catholics over the centuries have used sacramentals in superstitious ways as they were not taught how to use them properly. Instead of using them with faith, some Catholics use them as magic charms rather than instruments of grace.
Yes, this is unfortunate as sacramentals are meant to enrich our spiritual lives, not hinder them. They have been instituted by the Church to draw us into deeper relationship with Christ and are focused on sanctifying every part of our lives. Sacramentals are extensions of seven sacraments, I just said that, and bring the grace of God into everything that we do.
One place where sacramentals are especially powerful is in the home. If used in a spirit of faith, not superstition, obviously, we don't believe in superstition. But sacramentals can protect us from the spiritual harm or inspire us to live a holy life dedicated to God. We want to share three sacramentals. If used properly, they can provide a spiritual boost to your home as well as keep away the spiritual enemies that are lurking in the shadows.
Right, right. So the first one is what? Holy water. We got holy water. This is my spritzer. I take it with me wherever we go. We travel. And
it's also
water.
It's also we keep it in the bedroom. We also have the ones that you could sprinkle over.
Right.
And I use this in the morning. We both use it. See, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By this holy water and by that precious blood, wash away all my sins, Lord Jesus. Amen. Short prayer when you bless yourself with holy water.
Yes. So holy water has a double meaning of reminding us of our baptism as well as a symbol of spiritual cleansing. Holy water is said to have great power over the devil, as the devil cannot stand this clean, quote-unquote, water, since he is entirely unclean for all eternity. It is also a reminder of the water that flowed out of Christ's side, which is a symbol of baptism, and brings to mind the day of the devil's defeat, Christ's crucifixion.
Holy water, there's an ancient custom to have, even in your house, what are called holy water stoups or holy water fonts on the walls of a home. Or you could just have them in a bottle like I do. I have them in several rooms in a bottle like that, in a spritzer, or in a or where you could just, you know, pour it on yourself.
Right.
So, but for people that have holy water fonts or stoups, there are, some of them are elaborate. I've seen some very beautiful ones.
Yes.
Or some are simple cups that just hold holy water, which can then be used to bless yourself throughout the day. It's especially helpful to have them at the doors that lead outside the house, as well as in the bedrooms of family members. That way we keep ourselves always fixed on Christ and remind ourselves to remain pure. It also keeps the holy water handy when needed to ward off any influence of the evil one.
Yes, also, you know, holy water remits venial sin. So remember that. It remits venial sin. Also, we don't use it enough. And I think, especially right now in Texas, there's so much. I mean, right now they have the snowstorms and, you know, they have power outages and everything. This is a time to use your holy water and bless your house. And not only that, because it's used for, you can use holy water during storms and calamities that are occurring, the natural disasters. And I think we don't use that enough. So I think for those of you in Texas, do that. There's prayers, even in Jesse's book, page, I believe it's page
14. I'm looking
14.
At it here. Yeah.
Yes, and it has, there's prayers there for you to pray. Consecration to Our Lady, that's in a different page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also shows you, again, the prayer that you pray when you sprinkle yourself with or spray yourself with holy water. It's
yes.
Right here in my book. By this holy water, by thy precious blood, cleanse me from my sins, O Lord. Or you can say, bless this holy water, and by thy precious blood, wash away all my sins, O Lord.
That's the one that I pray.
Yeah. The devil hates holy water because it has power over him.
Right.
He cannot abide long in a place or near a person that's often sprinkled with this blessed water. And if your dear ones live at a distance, holy water sprinkled with faith and piety can move the Sacred Heart to bless your loved ones and protect them from all harm of soul and body. When worry and fear take possession of your heart, hasten to your holy water font and give your dear ones the benefit of the church's prayers. And also the holy souls long for it. Only in purgatory can one understand how ardently a poor soul longs for holy water, and the holy souls nearest to heaven may need the sprinkling of only one drop to relieve their souls. Holy water was used first in the Old Testament. It's not something we invented.
No, we did. We did not invent that. And so it's really important that for all of you, even when you go to Mass, now there's no holy water fountains, bring your own holy water. You know, bless yourself. Bless yourself before you go into the church and your children and whoever you're with. And so you could be protected.
Yep. Let's talk about blessed salt.
Yeah. Let's talk about yes. If possible, it is also good to have a small container of blessed salt in your home. This is my travel salt, blessed salt that we take, Jesse and I. Wherever we go to hotel, I give it to my husband, and he has the authority, and he blesses the room, and he sprinkles salt around the room.
And I drive demons out in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Because we do not know what's going on in those
yeah.
hotels.
And by the way, because you're renting that room for a few hours or days, you have authority over that room while you're there.
So it's a good take. You know, you have it in a small container, blessed salt in your home. You can also, you would all have to specifically ask your parish priest to provide that for you, and odds are likely that your parish priest would not be familiar with it. In other words, if you bring blessed salt and he's not familiar with it, you bring him the prayer and he'll pray over it. That's essentially what
the prayer is found in the Roman ritual. I like the old Roman ritual, pre-1962. And to type in blessed salt, print it out, give it to him, say, Father, can you bless the salt? He'll look at it and say, oh, this is a beautiful prayer, and he'll do it.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. This is one sacrament that is often neglected and is not typically used in parishes. However, it is a powerful weapon against evil, as can be seen by following portion of the blessing said by the priest found in the Roman ritual. So that's pretty important.
Yeah, look at there. The prayer that the priest, here's part of the mm-hmm. prayer. That's not the full prayer because it's long. But part of the prayer says this. The priest says, as he puts his hand over priestly authority, and he says, Almighty and everlasting God, we humbly implore you in your immeasurable kindness and love to bless this salt, that he'll make the sign of the cross, which you created and gave to the use of mankind. so that it may become a source of health for the minds and bodies of all who make use of it. May it rid whatever it touches or sprinkles of all uncleanness and protect it from every assault of evil spirits through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is important because in prayer, you got to be specific. And this is why what I like about a lot of the old prayers, they're very specific about driving demons out. I got another section of my book on the blessed salt. What does it say?
Anything? Yeah, it says, blessed salt is an instrument of grace to preserve one from the corruption of evil occurring from sin, sickness, demonic influence, and et cetera. You know what? There's something in the word that it said to preserve. Remember, in ancient times, they used salt to preserve food from rotting. Well, why can't we use it to preserve our soul from rotting? Right? So that
spiritual preservation.
Right. Spiritual preservation. As in the case of all sacramentals, its power comes not from the sign itself, but by means of the church's official liturgical prayer of blessing, a power the church derives from Christ himself. That's in Matthew 16:19 and 18:18. As the Vatican II document on the sacred liturgy states, paragraph 60-61, that both sacraments and sacramentals sanctify us, not of themselves, but by the power flowing from the redemptive act of Jesus, elicited by church's intercession. And here comes our mother.
I hear the music.
Yes.
Here she comes. We'll continue
Thank
on
you,
sacramentals.
Mother.
Ora pro nobis, rega por nosotros.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Thank you, Mother Mary.
Ora pro nobis, pray for us. We're talking about three sacramentals that are indispensable for the Catholic home. We talked about holy water. We're talking about the theology of blessed salt right now. It's in my book. It's called Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle on page 15 and following.
There's a book.
Yeah. I want my wife to share what the contents of blessed salt. The theology is just rich.
Okay. We're going to continue where we left off from Matthew 16:19 and 18:18, but we're going to go into what the Vatican II says about it. As the Vatican II document on the sacred liturgy states in paragraph 60-61, that both sacraments and sacramentals sanctify us, not of themselves, but by the power flowing from the redemptive act of Jesus, elicited by the church's intercession to be directed through those external signs and elements. That's what Jess mentioned earlier. Hence, sacramentals, like blessed salt, holy water, metals, etc., are not to be used superstitiously as having self-contained power, but as, quote, focus points, funneling one's faith toward Jesus, just as handkerchiefs were used to focus faith for healing and deliverance. That's Acts chapter 19, verse 12. Thus, used non-superstitiously, modest amounts of blessed salt may be sprinkled in one's bedroom or across thresholds to prevent burglary in cars for safety, etc. A few grains of blessed salt in drinking water or used in cooking or as food seasoning often bring astonishingly spiritual and physical benefits. As with the use of sacraments, much depends on the faith and the devotion of the person using the blessed salt or any sacramental. This faith must be centered in Jesus Christ. Any amount of salt may be presented to a priest for his blessing using the following official prayer for the Roman ritual.
We already read that.
Yeah, we read that. So if you are interested in getting blessed salt, print this information out and present the blessing prayer to your parish priest. Ask him to bless the salt using the official prayer from the Roman ritual above. You don't have to print it out if you have Jesse's book.
Yeah.
But yes.
Here's the next sacramental that's indispensable for every Catholic home. It's called a crucifix.
Here we go.
The devil fears the crucifix. It's a very powerful sacramental that's more typically found in our homes. Most Catholics' homes should have a crucifix. Not only does the crucifix remind us of the great love that God had for us, but it's also a strong deterrent to spiritual enemies. The crucifix is the bane of Satan's existence and is a sign of everything that he despises. The crucifix is beneficial to have in every room in your house or apartment so that you can frequently meditate on Jesus' great sacrifice of love, as well as have an image to remind you that you need to focus on during times of temptation. Again, there's prayers from the Roman ritual, which you can give to a priest so that he can bless your crucifix. But this is an important meditation. Father Chad Ripperger says that, especially men that are dealing with pornography, he says it's important to pray the rosary, gazing upon a crucifix, fixing your eyes on a bloody corpus on the five wounds of Jesus. Or he said you could even do it on your cell phone. Just Google the five bloody wounds of Jesus, and the movie The Passion of the Christ is going to come up. And just look at that for 15 minutes as you're praying the sorrowful mysteries. If you do that, that will break the desire for pornography.
Yeah, and in your home, try to put it in a prominent place in your home where people enter and they know who you are immediately. You're Catholic. You have a crucifix. Most Catholics have crucifixes in their home, so that already determines who you are. And in, you know, in Romans, not Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, St. Paul says, I preach Christ crucified. So there we have, it's in Scripture.
And I'll tell you why that's important, because oftentimes as Protestants are always focusing on just the resurrection, but our redemption was won by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Protestants tend just to talk about resurrection. So that's why they don't have a corpus on their crosses. But the whole event of being saved happened with a threefold event. It's called a Paschal mystery. It's the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why St. Paul tells the Corinthians, I preach Christ crucified, because this is an essential part for you to believe and accept and enter into in order for you to be saved.
And this is really simple. This is just mentioned a cross. There's no corpus on the cross. Well,
for the Protestants.
Well, that's what they call their representation of Jesus on the cross. But we as Catholics, the crucifix. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. So we identify our cross as the crucifix, because we have our Lord there, and it's just a reminder of his love for us.
Yeah,
just remember that.
Protestants, they don't want to think about Good Friday. They just want to go right to Easter Sunday, but it's a threefold event. Here's a couple of church fathers on the power of the cross when you make the sign of the cross. Saint Clement of Rome says, "Say the sign of the cross," when you use the sign of the cross, it drives away demons. Saint Athanasius, the sign of the cross drives away demons. These are giants of the church. Father Gabriel Amorth, Rome's exorcist, passed away a few years ago. The sign of the cross chases demons away. St. Catherine of Siena, doctor of the church. We must fight demons courageously by the sign of the cross. St. John Vianney, patron saint of Catholic priests, holiest priest that ever walked the earth. The demon is very cunning, but he is not strong. Making the sign of the cross puts him to flight. St. Teresa of Avila said the same thing. All right.
Boatload and a lot of information on
but
the crucifix,
we have
the
to
holy
use
water,
it.
And yes, so we have to use it. And
use it or lose it.
That's what me and this is our little kit.
Yeah.
Jesse and
our
I
travel
use.
Kit.
Travel kit, and we take it with us everywhere. We'll be taking it this weekend because we'll be in South Dakota.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Our Lady here, and
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about just to remind you what the Catechism of the Council of Trent teaches. It teaches the following, that at no time is the devil's attack more intense than at the moment of our approaching death. In short, then, the devil attacks us at the moment of death most fiercely at our most vulnerable point. Just as a skillful general will storm a fortress on the side where he perceives the walls to be the weakest, the Catechism from Trent instructs us that each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death. In a particular judgment, that refers his life to Christ, either entrance immediately into the blessedness of heaven or entrance through a purification in purgatory, or immediate, an everlasting damnation. Nevertheless, if we have lived a good life, we have nothing to fear, for the church, as we can learn from the funeral liturgy, holds out for us the hope of, quote, of the presence of Mary, the angels, and all the saints at this most decisive moment of our lives, close quote.
So it is with Christians who face death. The devil will come to tempt them, but their guardian angels will come to strengthen them. Their patron saints and protectors will come also, as well as Saint Michael, the archangel, whom God has appointed as the defender of his faithful servants at the time of their death. The Blessed Virgin Mary will also come to protect her children, who so often prayed to her for help, now and at the hour of our death. That's Saint Alphonsus Liguori. So, yeah, I know this
bishop and doctor of the church, by the way.
Yes, one person that's, he lived a life of unbelief, a life of omission, not, attending Mass and not really putting God in the center of his life. This person now has terminal cancer and he's expressing his fear. So where does that come from?
It comes from the fact that demons are surrounding him right now.
They're starting to surround him. Because he's dying.
And he's a faithless man.
Yeah, so, for those of you that have family members like that, just bring Christ to them. And get them to the sacraments.
Get them to pray the last few months or days or weeks of their life.
Yeah, whatever is left over, it's the Holy Rosary. But I think this person is going to meet with the priest and going to have confession. Because why? It's because the believing spouse
sanctifies the
unbelieving spouse. And that's, in this case, that's what's happened. The believing spouse, she was a prayerful woman, went to Mass, prayed the rosary, go to confession, and because of that, he's going to be receiving his sacrament confession. Over 60 years, he has not gone to confession.
So the believing spouse, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and following, I forget what verse, consecrates the unbelieving spouse. In other words, her suffering, prayers, penance, all the sacraments that she, all her rosaries, are meriting the grace from God to her unbelieving husband, who will have a Saint Dismas moment and probably die with forgiveness of sins and end up going to heaven one day because he was married to a good woman for 60 years.
Yeah. So for those spouses that you're married to an unbelieving spouse, or even if you're divorced from them, pray for them. Pray for them because you want him to go to heaven. Even though
you will their soul, God wills their salvation, so you have to will their salvation as well.
Right.
God wills the salvation of everybody. I want to talk about Our Lady's seven promises to those who meditate on her seven sorrows. There's two of them that jump out at me: promise number five and promise number six. It is promise number five on the Our Lady of Sorrows. It's called the Dolorosary. She said the following quote: "I will defend them. That's you and I, in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy." And I will protect them at every instance of their lives.
Wow.
Great promise. Promise number six from Our Lady of Sorrows.
I feel protected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She says, I will help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Close quote.
A beautiful face.
Yeah, I know. Father Chad Ripperger, he says, this is spiritual warfare at its absolute height. It is the place in which the dominion of Satan is destroyed. And guess who's standing there? Our Lady. She shall crush your head now. She will, because she's standing at the foot of the cross. And this is one of the reasons why, when she became Queen of Heaven and Earth, our Lord gave to her perfect coercive power over demons It's God's will. She has this capacity. She doesn't have to say anything. She just shows up.
Yes.
Pray for us. We'll be right back.
We love you, Mother Mary. La Morenita.
We're back, Jesus 911, two sacrament of marriage car.
Tobias and Sarah.
That's right, Tobias and Sarah, by the way, it's a good read. It's in the book of Tobit. You may want to read it. Sarah was a holy, pious Israelite woman, but she didn't know how to pick men. She had a bad time picking men. She just, you know, she liked the bad boys. She kept picking husbands, and a demon would kill the husband in the wedding bed the night of the honeymoon. And so Sarah, after the seventh husband had been killed by a demon, I don't want to mention his name, she met a good man, not a bad boy, a good man, a guy named Tobit or Tobias. They were
Tobit
married.
Tobit was his father.
Tobit was, yeah. So they got married and they went to the wedding bed and he led her in prayer. And the Bible says that the demon lifted and just left the house and never came back.
That's beautiful. The power and the authority of a husband.
If guys only knew the authority that God has given them. Now, for women, don't feel like you're like, you know, a second fiddle. If a woman's not married, and if a woman, again, she lives by herself, she's a widow, she's divorced, what have you, a woman has 100% power to drive demons out in relation to herself. So with her personal prayers and living in a state of grace.
Yeah, that's the key.
Living a clean, pure, holy life.
Yes.
You have 100% power to self-deliver, to drive demons out from yourself, your presence, your house, in relation to self. But let's go back to, Anita, I use the word coercive. People say, what's he talking about, coercive power?
Yeah, you use that. What is that?
Well, Father Ripperger says that Mary has coercive power over the devil.
So let's give you the definition. It says, to wield power, to exercise rule and authority over. Hmm. So that is, that's just a really strong word to use. So if Father Ripperger uses that word.
Because he's seen it in action a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And St. Louis de Montfort, he called the rosary the little Summa because it gives us victory over our enemies. Remember, it's the weapon, the rosary.
In the 15 promises of the rosary from Our Lady to St. Dominic, there's four promises that jump out at us that really talk about spiritual warfare. Of the 15 promises, promise number two, Our Lady said, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who recite the rosary. Notice, special protection. That's a spiritual warfare term.
That's what's very important for us to promote the rosary, encourage people to pray the rosary, teach people how to pray the rosary. Number three, the rosary shall be our powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies.
These are words of Mary. These are not our words. Okay, we're just quoting to you the 15 promises of Mary. Here's promise number five of the 15 promises of the rosary from Our Lady.
And I just want to mention one thing. One of the heresies right now is communism.
Communism and modernism.
That's why it's important to pray the rosary. We need to
The heresy of communism is all over America, all over our schools.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what happened today? You got some news that...
Remind me.
VNPR is no longer on YouTube, the cancel culture.
Oh, yeah, cancel culture. The communists canceled us.
Mm-hmm.
And they said no more. They canceled us for a week, but it's just a matter of time because they're not going to like the content of our program. It'll be permanent like some of our other friends. So... promise number five of the 15 promises of the rosary, Our Lady says, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish.
Yep. In other words, not go to hell.
Yeah.
That's what perish means. Yeah.
Which means that the soul that prays the rosary with devotion is predestined for heaven. That's what it means. If you're not going to hell, there's no other place that's permanent other than heaven. You're predestined for heaven.
And just remember, those who pray the rosary, don't pray it out of fear. You want to pray it out of love. Love for Jesus. Love for what he did for us on the cross. I said, that's how we pray the rosary, with love.
Yeah. That's called perfect contrition. If you pray the rosary out of fear of going to hell, that's called imperfect contrition.
Yeah. And when you pray pray out of love and you're not praying mechanically, you know, the prayers are that much more powerful. When you begin to pray the rosary mechanically, Our Father, Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, blah, blah,
yeah, right.
You know, when you pray that, you diminish the power of the rosary. You diminish the power of the prayers.
Yeah, because you're not fully engaging
right.
your soul.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I want to get it done. I need to pray my rosary today.
Right.
Check what, you know, tick. I prayed the rosary today.
Exactly.
We have to move away from that.
Promise number 13, Our Lady says, I have obtained from my divine son that all the advocates, those are those that promote the rosary, all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death.
Just imagine how beautiful that is. The celestial court right there at the time of your death.
Yeah, well, you know,
deathbed.
What this promise is, means that Our Lady's saying she will be at your bedside
with
her and the celestial court when you're sick and dying. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That's beautiful. Okay, three Hail Marys for protection. You know, the rosary start out with, you know, you say the Apostles' Creed, and then you go into the three Hail Marys. The three Hail Mary devotion each morning and evening in honor Mary's special privilege associated with the Holy Trinity has been encouraged by saints and popes, including Saint Anthony of Padua, Saint Leonard of Port Maurice, and Saint Alphonsus of Liguori. Praying the three Hail Marys is intended to direct our hearts and minds to worship the triune God, who has chosen to honor Mary in a special way. It aims at helping us avoid serious sin by preserving purity of the mind and heart through Mary's intercession.
Yeah, so this is a devotion that the saints recommend. Our Lady has appeared to them. These are approved apparitions. About starting the morning off with three Hail Marys and ending with three Hail Marys before you go to bed. So these protections are promised to you. During an apparition to Saint Gertrude, the Blessed Mother is said to have promised the following, quote, to any soul who faithfully prays the three Hail Marys, I will appear at the hour of death in a splendor of beauty so extraordinary that it will fill the soul with heavenly consolation, close quote. And St. Leonard of Port Maurice in the 18th century, he often preached devotion of the three Hail Marys every morning and evening in the honor of Mary's Immaculate Conception to obtain the grace of avoiding all mortal sin during the day and night.
Wow, that's beautiful. I know. When we do pray those three Hail Marys, we ask for Our Lady's intercession to protect us from world and flesh and the devil. We also pray, obviously, in honor and praise of the Blessed Trinity. Mm. And then we also pray for faith, hope, and love, those three things. So as long as you're, you know, ask for those intercessions, that's what we do.
There's even a story in one of my little TAN books where this two friends, they were drunk one night, and they went home, and one guy was drunk, but he goes, man, my mom and dad taught me to pray three Hail Marys before I go to bed. I know I'm drunk and stuff, but okay, I'll do
it. And he did it reluctantly.
So he prayed three Hail Marys. He's in a drunken stupor in his bed. He did it reluctantly, and then he went to sleep. All of a sudden, he got a vision. God showed him a vision of his friend that was also drunk that night. Apparently he had gone home. He had gone home and he got an accident and died. Probably, you know, drunk driving or something. He died. So this guy that prayed the three Hail Marys, he's at his house. He has a vision, a clear vision of his friend that they had just left each other after being drunk all night. His friend had just got killed and he saw his friend in hell. And his friend came to him from hell and showed himself to him and told him, the only reason that you were saved is because you prayed the three Hail Marys.
That's chilling.
He didn't even pray with like perfect contrition.
He prayed
imperfect contrition.
He told because that's what he was taught, and I better do it and I'm gonna go to bed. And
so he was tracking in the right direction. That's called smash mouth Catholicism. You just like grind it out, say, I'm drunk, I'm gonna pray my three Hail Marys because I should do it. Yeah. That's you just grind it out and he did it. But it's a powerful story.
It's on the book called All About Hell, I think.
Yes.
I'll grab it.
I'll grab it.
Yeah, it's a really good little book.
It's a good story.
It's a lot of good stories there.
So let us pray then for the grace of final perseverance, the grace of a happy death, and the grace of seeing Mary during our last agony. For as the letter to the Hebrews tells us in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's only fearful if you're in a state of mortal sin. If you're in a state of grace, it's a beautiful thing. And our Lord Jesus Christ also says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, John 8:32. And remember, the devil's the father of lies, John 8:44. He does not like the truth. Everything we're telling you right now is true. And truth and lies are complete opposites.
So that's what's happening right now in this time. You know, the cancel culture, these big techs are canceling everybody. Why? Because the truth. It's like, this is what's happening in scripture where Pilate looks at Jesus, says, what is truth? So the big tech, they're pilots.
Exactly.
And so that's what they're doing. There's what is truth? They're looking at us in the eye and they're saying that what is truth? Well,
they got the power right now because they got the toys
right now because in this world.
In
this world.
Here's a secular bumper sticker that I've seen.
It drives me to my knees.
Yeah. The secular bumper sticker says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This is not true. Words actually hurt you more than being punched or kicked. Why? Yeah. Words, especially curse words, bad words, insult, slander, calumny, are deeply hurtful.
Yeah, there you go. There's a verbal engineering. Let's change things.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. You know, absolutely, it hurts.
It does hurt.
And by the way, we're going to get into it on the next segment. Demons are injured by prayer. That's a teaser. Think about what we just said. And we're going to show you why demons are injured by prayer. Especially the Hail Mary. We're going to get into it in the next segment.
Here comes our lady.
Here she comes.
La Bonita. Te queremos mucho. Pray for us, Mother Mary. We are back. Jesus 911.
Tobias and Sarah, Jess and Anita. We want to share with you the power of the actual Hail Mary. I think you'll find this fascinating, this segment. This is worth sending to other people. By the way, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button. And tell other people about this show. Let other people know that.
And this is in your book.
Yeah. By the way, all this that we're saying is in my book. It's called Mama's Boy.
Where is it? So we can show the audience. Yeah. It's here.
It's called Mama's Boy. It's on my website. It's not on Amazon. It's on Mama's Boy. JesseRomero.com. Everything, all the theology of spiritual warfare on the Blessed Mother is chapter one of Mama's Boy. It's on my website, JesseRomero.com.
Yeah, we've been working on it for the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
This is part three, and it looks like we're going to finish it. Yeah.
So demons are injured by prayer, according to the saints and exorcist. Prayer causes demons pain. It tortures them. When you pray, you take the high ground and make a demon a prisoner of war. Because prayer is taken from sacred scripture, which is all true. The Hail Mary is particularly harmful to demons. During an exorcism, a demon was forced to tell Father Gabriel Amorth, who was Rome's exorcist for many years, the demon said that every Hail Mary feels like getting hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Ouch!
Of course, they don't have a body, so that's a metaphor. The demon, that's a type of pain, so we can understand as humans what they feel. So I'm going to go through the Hail Mary. I'm going to want my wife to say the first part of the Hail Mary. Then I'm going to comment on why that verse of the Hail Mary hurts the devil and demons.
Okay, and we're going to say it with reverence. Hail Mary, full of grace.
Stop there. The devil hates what my wife just said because the devil is disgraced. He absolutely has no grace. He has absolutely no grace. So when he hears that, and by the way, he used to be full of grace when he was Lucifer, the seraphim, in the presence of God as the choir director. And now from having 100% grace, now he has no grace. So when he hears us praying that about Mary, it causes him pain because he's a envious, prideful being.
Okay. The next. The Lord is with thee.
Ah, the devil hears that and he now remembers, I used to be with God and he used to be with me. Now the Lord is not with him. He's no longer with this seraphic Lucifer, this fallen angel. In fact, God tells Satan in Ezekiel 28:17, I cast you to the ground. In fact, God tells Satan in Psalm 147, verse 6, the wicked God cast to the ground. Satan knows this. Yep.
And this is where the father womb is, where the Lord
Absolutely.
Casts him out. Yeah. Just imagine.
He roams the earth with a perpetual father wound.
Yep, how painful it is for your father to tell you, out you go, you're gone.
I disown you.
I disown you. Those, you know, saying words do hurt. Those are hurtful words.
I
can't imagine that. And he's dealing with that for eternity. Mm. He has a father womb for eternity. And here we go. Next. Blessed are they among women. Blessed are thou among women. Sorry.
Yeah. Once upon a time, Satan, who was Lucifer, he was blessed amongst all the angels. So when he hears Mary's now blessed amongst all the women, he was blessed amongst all the angels. In fact, the Bible actually says that Satan was, in Ezekiel 28:12, was once perfect in beauty.
Wow.
But now that he's no longer blessed, he's actually cursed. Now, Ezekiel 28:16 says that Satan is a profane thing. He's no longer blessed, he's cursed.
And no longer beautiful, but
Perfidious. That's the theological term that's used.
Or ugly.
Perfidious, yeah. Which means like very ugly.
Yep. So here we go. Mary, okay. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
This is the money verse right here. Lucifer, when he was an angel, a seraph, he rejected the incarnation. He heard the plan of God. And this is why he was rejected, cast out from heaven. He refused to assent and worship God if he became a man. So it's the whole incarnation that caused his fall. He refused to buy into God's plan that God would become a man. He says, nope, if you become a man, I'm not going to worship you. And that's where his rebellion started.
Yeah, and if he didn't rebel, he would still be probably third on the ladder because Mary would be second. Mary would be higher than him.
Absolutely.
So it would never change. So he decided to, you know, I will not serve.
That's correct. Okay.
Next, Holy Mary, Mother of God.
When we say that
phrase,
Satan fears Mary because, again, she has coercive power and authority over him. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And again, when we say the word Holy Mary, Mother of God, that's reminding the devil once again that God became a man. That's that's an incarnational verse. God became a man. And he knows that this woman that gave birth to the second person of the Trinity, he knows that God has given her power and authority over him. And it's stamped in Scripture, Genesis 3:15. There's no debating that. And the devil must submit to the word of God. He knows he's bound by the word of God.
Yeah, and this is where Father Ripperger says, all Mary has to do is show up, and there's her power and authority.
Yeah.
There you go. She just has to show up.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, next phrase. Pray for us sinners.
Mary prays for us, the Queen Mother, the Mother of God and our Mother, but Satan and demons, they curse sinners. And our prayers cause him pain.
Next phrase, now and at the hour of our death.
Well, we just talked about that in the beginning of the show, the first segment, that Mary and the angels, if you are devoted to Our Lady and die in a state of grace, Mary and the angels in her celestial court will stand at your bedside and fight demons as you're dying and drive them away.
Mm. You know, I want to go back to the pray for our sinners and Satan curses sinners. That's where, you know, when we are cursed by demons, if you're living in a state of grace, and there's a prayer that you pray if you feel like you've been cursed, I bless.
Yeah, it's called the punishing prayer.
Yeah, the punishing prayer. I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but
let's do it next week and go and do the whole thing.
Okay.
It deserves an entire segment.
Yes, it does.
So that's a teaser. You got to listen next Friday.
Yeah, okay.
The punishing prayer next week.
Yes.
It'll be the whole segment.
Okay. So anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, next phrase. We did it.
No, we closed.
Amen.
So
that's the last.
Amen.
I believe.
It means, it's a Hebrew word. It's not even English or Spanish or Latin or Greek. It's Hebrew. And by the way, Jesus is called the Amen. That's one of the titles of Christ mm-hmm. in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Mm-hmm. This means that he's the ultimate truth who came to destroy the works of the devil. And so we have to pray for the final perseverance, the grace of a happy and the grace of seeing Mary during our final agony. As I said right in the beginning in the book of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're in a state of mortal sin, it's a fearful thing. If you're in a state of grace, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Now, there's two pains, Anita.
So much
there's
hope.
Two pains of hell, if you could just...
Yeah, the
Catholic
two pains
teaching.
Of hell. Catholic teaching is the pain of loss. God is not there, and we know it. And the second one is pain of sense, the fires of hell. Woo!
Yeah, pain of loss. Think of the pain of loss. People feel it a little bit at a funeral.
Yes.
If you lose a loved one, I'm going to experience it one day, and my wife is as well. And that's hell. That's what hell is. It's a perpetual pain of loss. Yeah. God is not there, and you know it, and you're never going to see him.
And you never see it.
And then the pain of sense, the saints talk about the fires of hell. They say they're very real.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Marian spirituality strengthens us in our earnest attempt to make our wills one with God. We may say with Dante that to do without her would be to want to fly without wings. And so on planet Earth, you either have my spirituality or, you know, you either have my will or do Marian spirituality. That's Mary's will, which is listen to what my son says. Listen him.
And a lot of times people are not good listeners.
No.
When you want to listen, this is the most important time to listen, is listen to him.
Yeah. So we just give you an explanation right now, the last 2 weeks of Marian titles and devotions that should prove conclusively that the Blessed Virgin Mary is no helpless damsel in distress. She possesses and epitomizes feminine strength, which fights and conquers evil and protects us, her children. I want to close, Anita, with a prayer. It's most people don't know this prayer. It's actually called the prayer Virgin Most Powerful.
Well, Virgin Most Powerful.
Yeah.
Let's
pray. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, we switch to you for security. Holy Mother of God, pay attention to our prayers and support us in our requires. Preserve us from each danger, superb and blessed Virgin. O Mary, powerful Virgin, you are the mighty and superb protector of the Church. You are the great assistance of Christians. You are terrible as an army in battle array. You by yourself have ruined all heresies in the complete world. In the midst of our struggles, our anguish, and our distress, protect us from the power of the enemy, and at the hour of death, acquire our souls into paradise. Holy Virgin Mary, you are special amongst women of all ages in the world. You are the daughter and handmaid of the most significant Supreme King and Father of Heaven. You are the mother of the most holy Lord Jesus Christ. You are the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Collectively with Saint Michael the Archangel, all the powers in heaven, and all the saints, Pray for us to your most holy, beloved Son, the Lord and Master. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anita, what are you doing for Lent? We got about one or 2 minutes.
Okay, what I'm doing for Lent. What's going to...
For the ladies
my spiritual growth. For you ladies, I decided that every day I'm going to take 2 hours out of my day, which is extremely busy, to help my daughter-in-law watch the kids. She's going to do something, whatever she wants to do, and I'm going to watch my grandchildren for 2 hours so she can catch up on whatever she needs to do, work out, fold clothes, or go to the market. And that's going to be my Lenten sacrifice.
I know you're going to be going to Mass every day.
Absolutely. Mass, I'll be going to Mass. I pray my rosary. I pray my morning prayers, my evening prayers, Divine Mercy, the Angelus 3 times a day, and the reflections on the daily Mass readings. So I just have a slew of things that I have to complete. And not only that, I got physically... do a little bit of exercise, sweat a little bit too. That's another form of sacrifice.
That's right. You've been listening to Jesus 911. Catholic first responder couple, sacrament of matrimony in action. We'll see you next week.
This is Jesus 911.
Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Virgo potens, ora pro nobis.